Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this third Sunday in Advent, we're looking at the ministry and the testimony of John the Baptist, both here in John's Gospel and also using information from the other Gospel writers' accounts. John's Gospel opens with very well-known verses, which we call the prologue. This is the sublime introduction which we read every Christmas. You know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. A wonderful theological statement about Jesus the light who is coming into the world. But have you ever wondered why in the middle of that wonderful prologue comes a statement about John the Baptist? There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And then follows the rest of the prologue, at the end of which we are told about John the Baptist denying that he is the Christ or Elijah or any great prophet. Instead, he says that he is a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the ways for the Lord." He then says, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." So let's first notice the great humility that we see in John. When they would suggest that he's the Christ, or he's Elijah, or he's another great prophet, he will have none of it. He just calls himself a voice. No name, no title, a voice with a message. John's task is always to point away from himself and towards Jesus. As we look at the passage and testimony of John the Baptist this morning, I think that we can see at least three themes emerging, themes that are both separate and closely interwoven. And first is that word repentance. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," cries John to the crowds who gathered to meet him in the wilderness. Now, I call this how to ensure that you are not very popular with some people. If we were to choose the most unpopular idea in our own society today, and even in some parts of the church, perhaps the concept of repentance will come near the top. A dictionary understanding of repentance would explain it as a deep regret for actions that have been taken. However, a biblical understanding for that, we must go much further. Repentance is being sorry for those parts of our lives that do not measure up to God's standards. It means to acknowledge and accept our responsibility for this, and not blaming our circumstances or our upbringing, our education, or perhaps the society in which we live and its influences. It means realizing that there is no way of earning our way out of this dilemma, earning it with good works. It means admitting that we stand in need of God's forgiveness and God's mercy, and then in humility asking for that forgiveness. To repent is more than being sorry. It contains the biblical idea of turning. Turning away from something, turning away from sin, and returning to God and to his ways. Then another concept in John's teaching is preparing the way. John's call to prepare the way is focused essentially in personal preparedness. It's a matter of heart. It's a matter of mind. It's a matter of our attitudes. It is about lives that are open to God and available to him. Lives that have been swept clean, ready for service. Lives that are lived in such a manner that they have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and his leading. It's a readiness for action. It's an eager expectation of the coming of our King. Remember the parable of the 10 young girls who were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom? I'm afraid only 5 of them were properly prepared. And Jesus ends that parable with the shock of the bridegroom saying, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour." So Advent is a wonderful time when we prepare our hearts and minds to welcome the Christ child into our lives, and rightly so. It's a very important time of preparation. But how much more important is it to be ready for the coming of our Lord? His coming in great power and glory on the last day. And the third concept in John's teaching is making straight paths. Everything about John the Baptist was out of the ordinary. Even the food he ate, locusts and wild honey, sounds like a bush tucker trial to me. And the clothes he wore, made from camel hair. The only time I got near a camel, it didn't smell very nice at all. The crowds that followed him out into the wilderness did not find a celebrity dressed for a special occasion, but a straight-talking prophet who did not mince his words, especially talking about the religious establishment of his day and the royal family of his day. And that's going to eventually result in his death. When they asked him who he was and what he was up to, his reply was extraordinary. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the paths of the Lord." A voice, nothing to look at, but something to listen to. John is, of course, as we are told, quoting from Isaiah, "Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins." A voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths in the wilderness for our God." As John quotes from Isaiah, he's also defining his role. For together with the great line of Old Testament prophets, he is to level that road for the approaching king, to remove all obstructions, and above all, to make it straight. What road is necessary for a coming king? How is it to be made straight? When the king arrives, He answered the question like this: the kingdom of God is within you. The way that John is preparing the way is a way into the heart. It's a way into the lives of each one of his hearers. And that includes each one of us here today in Necton. John cries out to repentance. Mend your ways. Demonstrate it by the practical outworking of your lives. You who are well-to-do, share what you have with the poor, with the needy. You whose job it is to collect rents and fees and taxes, exact now no more than is proper. You soldiers, behave yourself and stop looting. And you, Herod, leave your brother's wife alone. In all these examples, John is saying, make straight paths for the Lord. John has a sense of passionate urgency because he knows that the Lord himself is about to initiate his kingdom, a kingdom in the hearts and the lives of people, of each man and each woman. The truth then and now is that we've been given the one faultless straight way as our pattern. One perfect and reliable ruler, God himself, revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, our King. If and when he is truly Lord of every part of our lives, then and only then will our lives become straight and true according to God's standards. What have we sung? Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. Amen.